Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Isaiah chapter 24. We're in the last many chapters. Isaiah has been proclaiming the judgment that's coming to neighboring nations, to Israel. Isaiah now is going to focus more eschatological and move ahead to the tribulation and the return of Christ. And that's where we're going to spend a few chapters. Behold, Yahweh empties the earth to destruction, eviscerates it, distorts its surface, and scatters its inhabitants. And you can read about all the things that are going to happen in the tribulation in Revelation chapter 6 through 18. And that's a summary, essentially, of what's going to happen in that time. And the people will be like the priest, and the male slave like his master, the female slave like her mistress, the buyer like the seller, the lender like the borrower, the creditor like the debtor. And what he's basically saying is, for anyone who's on the earth, it won't matter what your title was. You know, destruction is coming. The tribulation time is coming. The earth will be completely emptied to destruction and completely plundered, for Yahweh has spoken this word. You know, it's a heavy word. Judgment's coming to this earth. You know, God has done it before. You might remember Noah's day, and God's going to do it again. And before Christ's return, there's going to be Armageddon, and there's going to be a cleaning of a house before Jesus comes back for his millennial reign. The earth mourns and withers, the world languishes and withers, and exalted of the people of the earth language. Again, it's not going to matter what your title was, not going to matter how much money you had at the time that Jesus Christ returns. The earth is also polluted by its inhabitants. You know, that God's looking down and saying, you know what? People have not followed me. They've not obeyed me. I had a mission to multiply my image and likeness, and people have multiplied corruption. And just as he flooded the earth in the days of Noah, he's going to bring judgment at this time. Now, why? Listen to what he says here. For they trespassed laws, violated statutes, broke the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse devours the earth, and those who inhabit it are held guilty. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men remain. Now, that's really interesting. It's saying they've broken a covenant and that a curse devours the earth. Now, you may recall that God, the two main covenants of the Old Testament are the Abrahamic covenant, where God said, I'm going to have a family through Abraham, and you know, I'm going to bless the earth through Abraham's family, and I'm going to make him a family as many as the stars are on the sky. And then there was the Mosaic covenant, which was a covenant of blessings and curses, and it also gave them the law and helped them to know what they were to do to honor God, as well as the sacrificial system. And if they obeyed that law, they were going to be blessed, but if they disobeyed that law, they were going to come under the curse. And what he's saying is, therefore a curse devours the earth, and those who inhabit it are held guilty. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned. So, the inhabitants of the earth who are under the curse are going to be burned because they violated the covenant and did not obey God. Now, you know, if you've been following my teaching, that regarding the tribulation and the return of Christ, that I'm pre-tribulational, that I believe that there's going to be a rapture of the church prior to the seven-year tribulation, and then Jesus Christ is going to bring us with him, the church, for his millennial reign when he comes back to reign and rule, and that the people on the earth are the ones who are Jews or who have not believed. These are the ones who are inhabiting the earth. Now, Isaiah did not have a clear understanding of the church age that we live in now. So, he did not foresee that there would be this pause in God's plan where Gentiles would be welcomed into the family of God, that we would have this church age, and that then there would be a tribulation, and then Jesus Christ return. So it's not that he was wrong about what he prophesied for the future. It's just that there was a part that was left out, a mystery, it's called. Now, a mystery is something that wasn't revealed to Old Testament prophets. And has been later revealed to the church, and I believe there's more than one mystery. One of the mysteries is the church age that we live in right now. That was a mystery that he didn't understand. The other mystery is that of the rapture, because that wasn't talked about in the Old Testament, but is talked about in the New Testament. So that's something that also was later revealed. Listen to, mystery is used many times in this exact form in the New Testament. Listen to what it says in Colossians 1:26 and 27. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but now has been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So part of the mystery is that God now, through the power of his Holy Spirit, has come to live inside of Gentiles who have believed in him. And Isaiah didn't have a full understanding of that. Listen, Colossians 2:2, so that their hearts may be encouraged, having been held together in love, even into all the wealth of the full assurance and understanding, into the full knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. Now, another thing, is, as I mentioned, regarding this mystery, is the rapture. And I think, although it's not indicated here in Isaiah chapter 24, I do think you find some hints. And let me explain to you why I believe that. Because it says here, therefore a curse devours the earth. Now, who's under a curse? Are you under a curse? As a believer in Jesus Christ, are you under the curse of the law? Well, I don't think so. No, I don't believe you are under a curse. In fact, in the book of Galatians, now I had it marked, in the book of Galatians, in chapter 3 of Galatians, listen to what it says. However, the law is not of faith. That's the people who broke the law, and the Jews who broke the law is not of faith. He who does them shall live by them. Meaning, if you're going to try to live by the law, then you better do it perfectly. This is Galatians 3, verse 12. Now, listen to what it says in Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us, who's the us, the church, those who believe in Jesus, from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, that was the mystery, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. See, so Jesus Christ took our curse. God sent his Son, his one and only begotten Son, to take our sin upon that cross. He, the curse, our violation to the law, fell upon him. And this is for all who believe, so that we could become part of the family of God. Well, what are we reading in Isaiah 24? Therefore, a curse devours the earth, and those who inhabit it are held guilty. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned. Well, who are the inhabitants of the earth in tribulation? Well, if you're pre-tribulational, you believe that those who are no longer under the curse, who have believed in Jesus, have been raptured, and therefore aren't going to receive the burning of the time of tribulation, because we are not inhabiting the earth, because we're not under the curse. We've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus Christ died to pay our curse. That's why it says here, therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned. Well, why wouldn't we be burned? Because we're not there. Because we're not an inhabitant of the earth. And listen, this is also echoed in the book of Revelation. Let's go there into Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. Listen to what it says. Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I will also keep you from the hour of testing, which is about to come upon the whole world. Now listen carefully. To test those who dwell on the earth. So he's going to be keeping people from the hour of testing that's going to test those who dwell on the earth. Well, we're no longer going to be dwelling on the earth. In the book of Revelation, you have this new thing come on the scene. It's called earth dwellers. And these are the people who have not been raptured. And now they're given a new name. It's called earth dwellers. And this echoes what's being said in the book of Isaiah, that these people are going to be punished because they've broken the curse of the law, which is not true of the church. Now, finally, regarding this mystery and regarding the rapture, I want to take you to 1 Corinthians 15. Again, the rapture is called the mystery as well as the church age. Now listen to this. This is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now I say this, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the corruptible inherit the incorruptible. Behold, I tell you a mystery. This is something that wasn't understood in the Old Testament, but now has been made clear to the church. I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. Now, that's a rapture, and it's going to be an instant change. Now, what's very interesting in 1 Corinthians 15, when Paul talks about that, he talks about it all as a reference to good news. If we're not pre-tribulational, meaning if the rapture is not going to happen at the beginning of the tribulation, but if it's going to happen at the end, then we would face all the terror and difficulties of the tribulation. Well, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul mentions none of it. Paul doesn't say, well, hold on, before this mystery is revealed where you're going to be instantly changed, you're going to have to go through 7 years of tribulation. He doesn't mention it at all. And he does that exactly the same way in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's the same exact thing, and he mentions nothing of the tribulation happening before. In fact, he mentions the tribulation in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, not in chapter 4. In chapter 4, he talks about the rapture. Then he talks in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians about the day of the Lord, because the day of the Lord and the tribulation happens after the rapture. So, listen, I really believe that it all fits together very well. So let's go back now and see what's going to happen here in Isaiah chapter 24. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth who are under the curse are going to be burned, and few men remain. And now he's going to talk about the judgment, and then eventually, at the end of this chapter, you're going to see some things echoed from the book of Revelation, Revelation 21 and 22. But let's keep going. Verse 7. The new wine mourns, the vine languishes. By the way, the vine is many times a reference to Israel. All the glad of heart sigh. The joy of the tambourine ceases. The rumbling of those exulting stops. The joy of the harp ceases. They do not drink wine with song. Strong drink is bitter to those who drink it. The city of chaos is broken down. Every house is shut up so that none may enter. There is an outcry in the streets concerning the wine. All gladness turns to gloom. The joy of the earth is taken away into exile. Desolation remains in the city, and the gate is struck down to ruins. For thus it will be in the midst of the earth among the peoples, and the shaking of an olive tree, as the gleanings when the grape harvest is over. They lift up their voices, they shout for joy, they cry out from the west concerning the majesty of Yahweh. Therefore, glorify Yahweh in the east, the name of Yahweh, the God of Israel, in the coastlands of the sea. From the ends of the earth we hear songs, glory to the righteous one. But I say, I waste away, woe is me. The treacherous deal treacherously, and the treacherous deal very treacherously. The tribulation is going to be such an awful time. Panic and pit and pitfall are upon you, O inhabitant of the earth. Again, it's interesting how he talks about inhabitants of the earth as though it's like a category of people. Why would he even have to say that? Well, because there's inhabitants in heaven. Then it will be that he who flees the sound of panic will fall into the pit, and he who climbs out of the pit will be caught in the pitfall. For the windows above are open, and the foundations of the earth quake. The earth is broken asunder. The earth is split through. The earth is shaken violently. You can read about all this stuff in Revelation 6 through 18. The earth reels to and fro like a drunkard, and it totters like a shack, for its transgression is heavy upon it, and it will fall, never to rise again. So it will be in that day that Yahweh will punish the hosts of heights on high, and the kings of the earth, on earth. He keeps mentioning the on earth people. They will be gathered together like prisoners in the pit, and will be confined in prison, and after many days they will be punished. Then it closes in this way. Interesting. Then the moon will be humiliated and the sun ashamed, for Yahweh of hosts will reign on Mount Zion in Jerusalem, and his glory will be before his elders. Now, I just want to close off by taking you to the end, because he's saying that the moon will be, you know, darkened and the sun will be ashamed. And sure enough, when when we have the new heaven and the new earth, it's talked about in that same way that there will be no sun or moon because God is going to light the earth all on his own. And what a beautiful thing that is, that God can bring his own light. And did you know that actually in creation, when he said, let there be light, there was no sun or moon either. I believe it was day four that he brought forth times and seasons, which is time, by the way, and also the sun and the moon to gauge the time, because that's how we get a 24-hour day. But the light that he brought at the beginning was his own light. And how cool is that? I want to find this for you. It's right here in Revelation chapter 21, or is it in 22? I'm not putting my finger on it right away. Here, verse 22, verse 5. And there will no longer be any night, and there will not be the need of a light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. That's Revelation 22, verse 5. So it echoes, you know, what's being said in Isaiah. It's amazing, isn't it? It's not always easy, but it's amazing how God's Word, Old and New Testament, all the way to the eschatological future, all tie together. I hope this encouraged you. Listen, believe in Jesus, and I believe you're going to be spared this time of destruction that's coming upon the earth, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, hallelujah, do you believe in him? And if you have, you're not under the curse. God loves you, you're his child, and I believe because of that, he's going to protect you. God bless you all.